Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, licensed professional counselor, and co-host Andrea Wise Brown, life strategist and licensed professional counselor, and Sean the Realist. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of the show host. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, religious preference, gender, and sexual orientation. Don't forget to tune in every week to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. So, for all of our listeners, you've probably noticed we've been away for 2 weeks because we had to take a vacation. So, we are back in full swing. Tonight, I think we're going to have a really entertaining but also informative show. So we are going to go ahead and get right into introducing our guest tonight, and we also have a guest co-host sitting in with us. And so first of all, I'm going to give you our show topic, and our show topic title is called Are Successful Women Too Independent? So I'm going to repeat that again because I want to make sure that you guys get the gist of this topic, because not only do we want you all to tune in and listen tonight, but we definitely want to hear your feedback. We know that this is coming up in conversations all over amongst men, women. So, again, that topic is, are successful women too independent? If you have questions like what are we saying that means, make sure you raise your hand. That means pressing number one. And if you don't want to raise your hand and say it out loud, you can also log in to drguysgumbotalk.com, and you can post a comment in the chat room, and we can respond back to that. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our co-host for this evening. You guys have heard her before. She was a guest a couple of weeks ago on the show, and we just had to bring her back. And her name is Mrs. Rutledge. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone, especially Sean is on the line.
Well, thank you for joining us. And so we have two guests tonight. A couple of weeks ago, you guys may have remembered we did a show about what are successful men looking for. And so we brought on an eligible bachelor, quite successful in his career. And so I thought it would be befitting if we do the same for women. So we have two very successful women in their careers. And I'm going to bring both of them on and let them tell the listeners a little bit about what they do. And so my first guest, her name is T.K. Floyd, and I'm going to allow Mrs. Floyd to just tell you guys a little bit about what she's doing. Hey, T.K.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join you guys tonight. And thanks for the introduction. As Dr. Guy said, my name is T.K. Floyd, and currently I have a family law practice here in San Antonio. Prior to practicing family law, I actually was a corporate litigator. So basically I represented big companies, but I really felt in my heart that I wanted to have a more direct impact on our community and our people. So I transitioned into family law, and as part of that transition, I also started graduate school and earned a master's degree in counseling, and recently received my licensed professional counselor intern license maybe about 3 weeks ago. So that's who I am professionally. Personally, I'm the mother of a 13-year-old son, and I am divorced.
Well, thank you,
it.
T.K.
thank you.
Did you leave out something else about you, T.K.?
I am also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. And I pledge with Dr. Guy.
Oh, okay.
She was my link.
That was pretty important to mention.
It is. I apologize. Very
okay.
Important information.
Alrighty. And we do have another, what I consider successful, powerful female that's going to be a guest tonight. Her name is Brandy Galleon. Dr. Brandy, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on the show. And can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. A little background information. I've been in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for almost 9 years. I have a medical degree with a training in psychiatry. So currently I'm in attending psychiatry at one of the hospitals in North Dallas. I went to undergrad at Xavier University, and I got my medical degree from LSU School of Medicine in New Orleans. Personally, I am single with no kids and no pets.
All right. Anything else you want to mention, or is that it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How could I forget? Of course. I'm also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and I am in the same alumni chapter as Dr. Guy.
Okay. I know some of my listeners are like, does she always bring Deltas on the show? We're just everywhere, but I am open to everyone. I truly am. And so, as always, let me introduce my co-host. All of you guys know him, Sean the Realist. How you doing?
Hey, I think I'm a little outnumbered tonight, but we will see what happens. I'm Sean. I'm single. I did have a spider, but it died last week, so I'm petless now as well.
All righty. Mrs. Rutledge, are you ready to get into this tonight?
I am ready to get into this, yes.
Okay, so we're going to start off. I'm going to ask you guys the question. Again, because the topic we're saying, or not we're saying, but a lot of people have come up to me or in general conversation, I've heard this, that some people believe that women in 2015 have now become so successful in their careers that they're just too independent. And initially when I hear that, a lot of things come up to mind. So I'm going to ask you guys, when you hear that statement, or first of all, let me back up. From my guests on the show, have you heard that statement or something similar to that?
This is TK. I'm sorry. Brandy, you can go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. This is Brandy. I mean, I've heard it before, and it usually comes in the instance where people are like, well, you're successful, you have your own career, you're traveling, you're doing a lot of things, you have your own place, like, what do you need a guy for? Like, so maybe in there, you know, they're basically just saying, you know, some guys may perceive that as you're not really needing them to be around for anything. So I've heard it in that way before.
Okay. And when you do hear that statement, like, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, personally for me, it's not true. Because I do consider myself an independent woman, but it's not that I have it all, that I can't have room in my life for a companion or for somebody else. And I don't even think that I portray that I'd rather be by myself and that I can do everything by myself and that I don't want a life mate. So I just basically say that, what I said.
Mm-hmm. All right. TK, what about you?
I have not had as many people direct that statement towards me. However, I've heard that in conversations many times before. You hear basically what Brandy said, you have your own place, you have your own career, you have this identity, where would someone else's relationship fit in? And I see both sides of the story, to be completely honest. I think on the one hand, we can't be so independent that we isolate ourselves, but I also don't think that we should approach a relationship from the perspective of what's in it for me, like what can you do for me?
Uh-huh.
I don't need you, but what can you do for me? And I think that, unfortunately, there are some people who have that attitude, and so they lump us all into the same category.
Right.
They put us all into the same pot, so to speak. Ironically, I'm actually very traditional compared to a lot of my peers. And so when I make certain comments about relationships and the role of men and women, people look at me with very wide eyes like, oh, I didn't expect you to say that because you have a career, you're professional, you have this degree, you have this experience, you have this material item. And I tell them that degree, that material item, that profession will not satisfy me when I'm lying in bed at night. You know, I don't want those things to become such a priority in my life that there's no space for him, whoever he is.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, I know that as women, we've evolved, definitely. Feminism has come about, and we've definitely evolved. Sean, I'm going to let you jump on in there. But I'm wondering, when men were leaving the home and they were the providers and they were growing their careers and climbing the corporate ladder, no one ever said, oh, my goodness, men are just too independent. And so What is it now that makes society feel that if women are climbing the corporate ladder, building their careers, that they're too independent? Like you're only supposed to do so much as a woman? Like, where did that come from? And I'm
that's
sure Sean
back in the
has
old. That's actually from the olden days when women were supposed to take care of the home, as they say, and men were taking care, you know, all the other stuff, the buying, the working, and providing for the family. And a lot of times when they say women, they're so successful that they're too independent, what they're a lot of times are referring to is they don't need a man because they can do for themselves. So it's not the women who are successful that are saying that. It's the men, and sometimes it's the men who are afraid to step up to the plate and go for a woman who is strong and successful because she makes more than me, so she can't, you know, I'm intimidated. A lot of times it's the intimidation factor of the man, not so much as of the successful woman. And, yes, I'm playing the devil's advocate against Sean tonight.
Sean, I know you have a response for that.
Well, I think if we, you know, I'm a history buff, so let's just talk about history and how it relates to society. Mm-hmm. So originally, you know, she made reference to men providing, but that's because the majority of jobs were based on physical labor. Now that we're in more of an information or technology age, you know, that's opened up the floodgates basically for anybody for intellect, which is, you know, women itself. So what you kind of have is men that are misplaced and women that don't know how to help them get placed back. So when I, you know, in my circle, when you say a woman is too strong, it just means she doesn't really know how to be a woman. You know, she's not in touch with that tenderness. You know, she is too, I guess, too much in control a lot of times. You know, you have to carve out a role for a man besides taking out the trash and squashing bugs. You know, so, you know, it's not so much that the men are intimidated, but you can't have feminism without there being an attack on masculinity.
I disagree with that.
I do, too.
Of course you do.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, so let me
I would expect no less. What do you mean?
Let me say, because I don't think that you can, I don't think that it's attack on masculinity or men in general. And one of the concerns that when I thought about this show, I was like, okay, I definitely don't want this to be a show that bashes one or the other. I don't want it to be a show that bashes women that are successful in their careers because I know for a fact because I believe it's happened to me, is that we experience this from society quite often, is that you have to make a choice that you're going to go and try to build a successful career, and so maybe in the meantime your family life is lacking, or you choose not to have a family right now so that you can have a career and then choose to have a family. And so society in many cases frowns upon that, because when I was in my late 20s and I was still in school and other people were, you know, getting married and having kids, people were like, well, why are you not married? why you ain't got no kids? And I was like, because I'm still in school. And so, like, I became the running joke that I was this career student, and I was so goal-driven and ambitious for my career that dating and relationships just wasn't important. So not to bash that group of women, nor to bash the group of men who may think that women are too independent because that's a reflection of their own self-esteem or low self-esteem or feelings of inadequacy. But, Sean, I don't think you can – because you celebrate one, you degrade the other one, or you put down the other. So,
let's put it to you like this: if you have 10 oranges, and I have 5 oranges, and I take 3 of your oranges, and now I have 8 oranges, and you have 7, you know, although you may not feel, you know, like I took, you know, the oranges from you, and it was an attack on you, it actually was, if we look at the numerical value of what's occurred.
So are you saying that successful, here's the thing that I have an issue with, is that just because successful women are successful in their career, and at the time, Tanisha, when you said you were in school, at the time you were about your schooling, and to be in a relationship, if you have any selfishness or want to do for yourself, then you shouldn't be in a relationship because that's selfish. So at a relationship for you was not the time. That's not what you were looking for. But there's nothing to say that after you reach whatever goal for your career that you're not looking for love just because you're successful. That has nothing like, I think it was TK that said that doesn't make her keep her warm at night or make her happy by in the bed by herself. The thing of it is, successful women want a relationship. And if a lot of them will hide what they do, but for some reason, when you go on a date, the first thing that's asked is, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Who said it? I heard somebody in the background saying exactly. Who was that?
This is Brandy. Because when I never really paid attention to that until I moved here. Everywhere you go, people ask you the first question, besides what's your name, the next question after that is, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of times, I would say what I did, and then it'll be just like a blank stare. And, especially being a psychiatrist, it's almost like, are you analyzing me or whatever? And I don't work away from work. I mean, like, you know, when I'm out, I'm not trying to analyze folks. Or we'll have a conversation and, you know, we'll be laughing and all kinds of stuff. And then the question will come up, what do you do? And I'll say, and then it's almost like you can hear a pin drop. And so I do feel like there's a level of intimidation. I felt that for a very long time. But what I don't understand is how being a successful woman takes away or devalues a man that is also successful when they're together. I don't understand how me furthering my career or advancing in my career or being a professional takes away from what the guy is doing in terms of his career. So I think we could complement each other. I don't think it has to be that I'm pulling from him or that I'm demasculinizing him or anything like that.
Can I say something?
Takes a strong, go ahead, TK.
Of course. I'm sorry. I think one of the things that Sean said that we maybe didn't catch was when you're at work, you have a certain persona. You have a certain – if you're in a supervisory role, you're in control. You can snap your fingers and people move, you know. But when we get home, do we keep that persona on or do we let down our guard to the people who are around us? If we don't take that persona off, is that what – some men may be picking up if we continue to be that professional woman, that woman we are in the workplace, at home, is that where they feel like maybe we're emasculating them because we're trying to be in control in all aspects of our lives? I'm just asking the question, not
and
saying
that's
yes or no.
Yes.
That's a really good
yes.
question.
Yes. Well, also, you know, thank you, TK. I didn't expect anybody to jump on my side of the fence, even if it was temporarily. But, you know, what I also say is you can't have demasculization without defeminization. So what mm-hmm. it lends to is what TK is saying is that when you are not able to transition your work life from your personal life and you're not allowing yourself to become feminine, then you don't get that type of masculine energy because only one thing can occupy one space at a time. So if you're occupying the masculine, then you're pushing your man into the feminine. So you have to learn more or less how to make that transition. And that's what I'm saying, you know, that I think that a lot of professional women struggle with. You know, I'm not telling you when I get home you need to have on lingerie and high heels and lipstick on, but I don't need you with your rollers on smelling like, you know, Ben Gay, you know, Vaseline on your face either. You know, there's an art that I think has gotten lost about being a woman. It has been replaced with career. That's more or less what we talk about on my side of the thing.
Well, Sean, but TK, I mean, but let me just say something. But Sean, here's the thing. When we talk about successful women being too independent, a lot of times as soon as they hear the success, they assume they are independent. Because
that's
they, number
true.
One, they haven't gotten in a relationship with that woman to know whether she takes that role off or not. Because
that's
just
true.
Like Brandy was saying, if you can be out on a date and as soon as she says, well, she's a pin drop. Because it goes mm-hmm. to, well, she got that kind of career, she's not going to take that persona off when she gets with her man. And that's not a truth. That's an assumption. Now, you have some women that are like that, but you can't put everybody in that box.
In my experience, when she's made that comment, she's already probably did five things that she didn't know that I already picked up on that makes me know that. She probably came in and sat with her back to the door. She probably walked facing the street. She did five or six things and already let me know. And then when I heard it, I was like, okay, I'm turned off. So there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes in terms of body language and the things that you're saying that you don't realize you're saying that guys pick up on as well.
Hold that comment, you guys. I'm going to go to the phone line because we definitely want to hear from our callers. We want to know what you guys think about our topic tonight. But I think this may be Joe Neckbone, so let's go. 661, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Yes, it is me.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. I caught that Sean said, and Sean, I'm going to have to throw you under the bus for a minute here, and you have to forgive me for this, all right? The thing you said about oranges, like I have these number of oranges and you have that many, and if you take from one to the other, see, that's part of the problem. We're looking at it as my oranges and your oranges instead of ours. And this was the thing that really impacted my marriage because, you know, my ex used to view it as a power struggle between she and I, and anything that took away from her power or that she felt was, you know, giving to me, she felt slighted on. I just didn't see it that way. We're pulling from the same pot. We're married. You know, there is no mine and out and yours is ours. And so what happens is in a lot of times when you're successful at work in your career, you can view it as a me and you world instead of a us world. And I just think that, you know, a lot of young folks fall into that mistake. I know I did. I had a corporate job. I had my own businesses, and I was a successful entrepreneur. And I saw the world in terms of stuff instead of in terms of us. The stuff comes and goes, and I'm an old guy now, so I can see that over the period of time. You have to let it go, though. You have to understand that the value of a relationship is not in the money you bring in or what you own, but the strength between the two of you. And only then the independent woman, independent man stuff goes out the window. So that's all I wanted to say.
John,
applause.
I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. And one of the things, and this is for everybody on the panel tonight, when we talk about women that are saying either they're too successful or men think that they're too successful, before we start saying, well, Sean, you know, it's women who don't know how to tap into their beta energy and they're running around being alpha female, I'm not saying that that's not true, but what about as a society? These women have to be very independent because there are no men that are in their lives. And so if they're not able to take care of themselves and in many cases take care of themselves and their kids, then who's going to take care of them? So it's not like a catch-22. Men are saying, well, these women are too independent, but yet these same men are absent.
Ooh.
Well, I think they're overlooked. And we've had that conversation on previous shows before about there not being any good men. I don't think they're absent. I think they're overlooked. They don't meet the list.
Well, there's a lot of overlooking men if you're talking about 73% of African-American households are headed by single mothers.
And they didn't become a mother by themselves.
Are they overlooked or just
yes,
some men
indeed.
Are choosing to be absent?
I think it's I think it possibly for me.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
yes.
Sean. Go ahead.
No, no. Ladies first. I'm a gentleman. You know, at least I can do
thank
it
you.
All along.
Not sure.
I think I'm not sure who else said they may have children, but I fall into that category of having, you know, being the head of a single family home, a single parent home, was married. And I think one of the biggest issues I had in my marriage, especially towards the end, was the comment my ex-husband made about he, quote unquote, helped me get my law degree. And then when I didn't need him anymore, I divorced him. And I looked at him like, first of all, I have student loans, which means you did not help me. But that's a whole other conversation. But second of all, you supported me, no doubt. You were there when I was complaining about exams, the bar exam and everything. But one doesn't relate to the other. These were two mutually exclusive decisions. I didn't get my law degree, pass the bar exam, and then say, okay, I don't need you anymore. At that point of me getting my degree, I noticed him pulling back because I don't know if it was intimidation or, oh, I'm not on her level or whatever it was, but that deterioration of our relationship definitely started after I got my law degree. But I've been divorced now 10 years, and I think what really was happening was we were both too independent instead of being interdependent. And I think that's kind of the underlying theme of what a lot of the comments are pointing to. I think we have to be interdependent. Nobody needs to be dependent, and no one needs to be completely independent. We need each other for different things, for you serve this purpose, I serve this purpose. Together, I think the gentleman who called in said he sees it as us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is not what's valued in society. We live in a society that's me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. I see it every day with divorces. Well, I'm the one who worked. Why does she get part of my retirement? Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one who took care of the kids. He needs to pay me more child support. And it's like, okay, you both created this lifestyle. You both contributed, whether she went to work or not. She was supporting you indirectly. So get over it. You guys are in it together. And I think we miss that in this society. So when people say women are too independent, I don't think they're giving us a fair shake because there are many of us who are successful professionally who are definitely willing to be interdependent with a man or a significant other.
The thing I see about this whole topic is that when we talk about women, successful women being too independent, there's an assumption when they meet
mm-hmm.
a woman that she's like that. And then there's women in relationships that this is said about. Because there are some women we will do that. I make the money, so you know I run the show. Then we have some that do that, and so there's an assumption women, and then there's some that actually do it. So where do we cross the two? Do we stop making the assumption, or do we just live it when the relationship when you meet somebody, don't take on the assumption that she's like that just because she's a doctor or whatever. And as a man, you have to be willing to just get to know her, not what she does.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Looks like we have another caller at 312. Let's see, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi.
How are you? Dr. Malik, I kind of, it's going to sound crazy, I kind of agree with Sean a little bit.
That's not crazy.
And let me explain.
Malik,
Let me explain why I kind of agree with Sean. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is this: I heard one sister say that you know she's out to dinner or something like that, and then the conversation starts. And as soon as she says, you know what she does, she can hear pin drops. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of times, a lot of people don't realize is the context of an African American male. And especially African-American male as far as the developmental, as far as the psychosocial development of the African-American male. It's arrested development. And so we have a misconception on masculinity. So the thing about it is a lot of us, when we hear that this woman is a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or she's doing something that, quote, unquote, what we normally would define as successful, because that's one of the first things we got to get in our mind is how do we really define success. So when we normally define a woman as being successful, we automatically start thinking, well, what does she need me for? Because we have a maladaptive understanding of masculinity. So if we think that the only thing that we can be able to do for a woman is to kind of wine and dine her, and then we find out that she's already, you know, as far as success, making a strong career, have a strong income, then all of a sudden now we start wondering, well, where do I fit into the picture? So a lot of times that might be what's happening when this sister is out on dates, and when a lot of sisters are out on dates, that they're dating a brother who has a maladaptive belief system on what it is to be a man. Because I heard Sean saying, you know, that he walks down the street and she wants to take one side of the street, but he feels more comfortable with the man to take that side, or she don't want him to open the door for her. And these are some of the things that a man thinks that he's supposed to do. So if you automatically are starting to take that away from him subconsciously, he's going to start wondering, well, what am I there for?
Oh, so, okay.
And I'm glad that one sister kind of brought up the whole concept of interdependence, because the thing about it is this. Once I hear women saying, you know, are successful women too independent, that automatically turns me off right there, because if you're independent, you do not need anybody. You do not want anybody. So you sit in that energy out there, that's what you're going to get back. So if you ask, are successful women capable of being interdependent, then you're sending out a different side of energy. But if you're already sending out that energy about being independent, you're never going to find anybody who want to deal with you, because the whole concept of our dynamics of masculinity and femininity has been distorted.
So, Dr. Malik, TK brought up in the beginning of the show that it was about the whole interdependence, and TK opened up by saying, I'm a successful woman.
But I didn't hear the beginning of the show.
So, but I'm going to tell you, she said, I'm a successful woman, but my career can't hold me at night. She was very clear and making that statement that, yes, she would like companionship. So when you say it's a turnoff when women say I'm successful and they put I take it back. When you say when women come off and say they're independent, that's a turnoff. So women should come off as I'm interdependent. What does that look
like?
Well,
I think both should look in this form of being interdependent. Because the thing about it is this, it's both sides that's got to be, you know, healed. Both sides have got to be healed. The problem coming in is this. If the woman is just saying that she want to be interdependent, the male still got this maladaptive belief on what a man is supposed to be, he's going to be dominating and controlling. And she's going to be trying to work in a partnership. So the whole thing about a relationship is it's got to be a partnership. And the only way it's going to be a partnership is for both sides to have that understanding. So I'm not just putting it all on the sister, but since it's a topic for the sisters, that's why I'm focusing on the sister side. But it's for both.
I was just going to say, Dr. Blake, it's a topic for people, which
I'm looking at your topic.
The topic is for men and women, because women, obviously, are looking to date men, women have no control over what men do. So we really need for men to hear this show, for men to understand that you have successful women that are saying they're independent because, yes, they need to pay their own bills, they need to take care of their families, but they're still seeking companionship.
Brothers
got to get it together and deal with their own insecurity so that they can be with these successful, independent women.
If we're going to really try to heal the community, it's not a one or other side where the brothers got to take care of their own problems. No, it's got to be a partnership all the way through. Because see, the thing about this, when you look at the dynamics of what happened to our community throughout the time that we landed at this on this country, all the way up until now, we've been separate. So right now is the time for the healing to start. And the only way the healing is going to start is, like you said, Dr. Guy, for this to be an honest discussion between the male and the female. And if it's honest discussion between the male and the female, the thing about it is this. If you're really interdependent, that's about both sides working on fixing the maladaptive behaviors that we've grown accustomed to.
Uh-huh.
I get the whole Okay, I was just saying, I get the whole interdependence thing, but I'm like, what does that come into play when you're in, because I'm the one who mentioned being in a club or whatever, and then it was mentioned that maybe there was the way I walked, but here's the situation. I'm standing at the bar having a drink, okay, and you come up to me. That means I'm approachable, so I'm obviously not giving off any vibes that would tell you to stay away from me, so you come up to me and we're talking, and we're laughing, and you're finding out different things about me, except you don't ask me what I do just yet. And we're talking, we're laughing, having a good time, and then you even make reference to seeing me again or whatever. But then you ask me what I do, and then I tell you what I do, and then it's silence. So I'm trying to figure out where in between there did things change about our interaction. It had to be with me telling you what I did, even though before I was approachable enough for you to come up to me and try to holler at me.
It could be. Like I said, some brothers have a maladaptive belief system on what masculinity is, and it could totally be not necessarily what you do, but the sense of the fact that you're not into games, that he might be really into a game. Because he's
What if you just don't like psychologists? What if you told him he was a clown and he was scared of clowns? I mean, it's really not that deep.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he just might not mess with psychologists. It ain't nothing personal.
I'm just telling you,
he might be scared of the dentist. He might have bad teeth. Who knows? Like, everybody has their reasons. You can't automatically assume because you're a psychologist.
Let's look at the fact that on the table. All we can do is go with what's on the table. And if she tells the brother that she's a psychologist, right? The thing about
she's a psychiatrist.
I'm sorry. Oh, jeez, God.
Yeah. You know, he might have some child trauma.
The PhD and the MD, and so this sister is
going to
get her
she can give out the drugs.
MD.
You can give out the drugs.
What I'm saying is he might have a maladaptive belief system on what it is to be a man. And the thing about it is I've never seen you, sister. Never seen you. But I'm just going to assume that you are just fine as all outdoors. And the thing about it is he's probably looking at you. And the thing about it is with men, as being a psychiatrist, you know developmental men, as far as attraction is concerned, we're more physical. And so the thing about it is the first thing he might be seeing is, I see her, she's fine, I want to go talk to her. And then he realized that little bitty common game that he got is not going to work on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold that thought, you guys, because we have some callers that looks like they have their hands up.
I wasn't going to be on the panel.
Dr. Malik, you can stay on. You are welcome to stay on the panel tonight. I'm going
to
go to the phone line 708. You are on the air. Hello. All right. Maybe we'll have to come back to that. All right.
Sean, you got to behave, Sean.
Sean never behaves.
I'm trying to help you out, Sean.
No,
okay. So do you have somebody else?
The man might just be scared of clowns. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no, they didn't come. I don't know if they could hear us.
Okay,
so I want to
make a statement there.
Well,
here's the thing. If we're going to get real about relationships, get real, I like what Dr. Malik is saying about maladaptive ideas because that is correct. And don't we have that about a lot of things? We have been miseducated on a lot of things. But that's a cop-out if we sit on our laurels with that. Because we need to find out what the truth is instead of continuously saying, oh, well, I was miseducated and I'm going to stay that way. In a relationship, you both have to have a conversation. Quit worrying about who has money or whatever. You need to get to know the person for who they are. And that's why we have skewed dating. Dating doesn't mean I meet you in the bar and I hop in the bed. Dating means I get to know who you are. We have some conversations. We take some time to get to know who each other is. And if we take sex out of it, then maybe we can get to know each other. But if we're, you know, men are physical, so I got to try you out before I can find out anything else, that needs to be off the table. We need to get back to the old conversation.
What are you saying you do not agree with, Sean?
I mean, you can't define what and how a relationship takes place between two adults. I mean, that's between two adults. You know, that can be the model that you want.
And those two adults need to take that. They need to do that, though. That's the problem. That
who are you to tell the whole world how they're supposed to have relationships? You know, like, that's the model that works for you. That's fine, but you can't impose that.
You should have communication. You should talk. Dating is talking. Dating is not sleeping.
Right. Can I say something? What's the sister's name that just made that comment?
Mrs. Rutledge.
I'm sorry?
That's Mrs. Rutledge.
Mrs. Rutledge?
Uh-huh.
Yes, like married Mrs. Rutledge? Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I pronounced her name correctly. I could not agree with you more.
Okay.
Right. I could not agree with you more. Okay. The thing is this, though. The way I understood what she was saying, Sean, it wasn't necessarily, you know, a template for exactly the whole wide world initially, but it was a template for what she sees dating as. And the thing is this, that's where you have to start, and you have to start somewhere. So I think a conversation like this that Dr. Guy is facilitating is an excellent start. Let me say this real quick, Sean.
Right.
I agree that we can't use the maladaptive belief system that we've been, you know, accustomed to as being our sole excuse. But we have to recognize them patterns. And as individuals,
yes,
we have to eliminate those stigmas and get out and get help. But the thing is that I could not agree with you more. But unfortunately, it's a lot more difficult because of the fact that, unfortunately, the people who probably are listening to this conversation right now are not necessarily the people who need to hear it.
So let me jump in, and I'm going to do something nasty that I shouldn't do, but I feel like I'm losing, so I got to pull out my trump card. So, Dr. Guy, how long have you been friends?
Sorry, excuse me?
How long have we been friends?
I don't know, 20 years.
And, yes. In my friendship with you, have we not been able to establish there may have been some patterns that you were exhibiting that might have been preventing you from finding the person that you may have wanted at certain points?
Ooh, okay, I will own that. I definitely will.
And because of my excellent counsel and tutelage, you know, you have been able to perhaps correct some of these strong, independent woman behaviors that has allowed you to become more successful in some of your dating endeavors. Is that correct?
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead, since Sean put me on blast, I own my stuff, because that's the therapist in me that does her own work. So, as Sean is saying, we're talking about our successful women too independent. And Andre and I used to talk about the research study we did a couple years ago, where we did focus groups with all men and women, and we asked what has happened to the black marriage. And across the board, we had groups of women in all these different states, and what came up over and over was this statement, I'm independent and I don't need a man. Like, we literally...
Thank you.
Heard that statement over and over and over, and this was probably about almost 10 years ago, maybe, to this day. And so doing that study, I have to admit that I was one of those women. And I'm going to ask my guests on the panel, when you guys grew up, what did your parents, whether it be mother, father, grandmother, whoever, what did they tell you about relationships? Because when I grew up, what I remember my parents telling me was to go to school, and that's what stood out in my head. And so I went to school. The idea behind getting married, that never came up for me. Like, I was never the little girl that had the vision of a, you know, white dress and the horse and carriage. That, it didn't cross my mind. And so I was that woman who said, I don't need a man. I said it multiple times. Sean heard me saying it multiple times. I'm sure it came off in relationships that I did not need a man because I made it clear. I pay my own bills. I live by myself. Deuces. So the thing that changed was doing that research study, and I started hearing these women that sounded like me, and I was offended because I couldn't believe that I was her. And so it made me do a real it made me do some self-introspection into how I interacted with men and how I thought about relationships and my career. So for me, my career was always given 100%, and any relationship may have been given 20, 30 at most. So when we talk about this topic now, which thank you, Sean, for putting me on blast.
Hey, you know, when you're losing, you got to do something.
I understand that there are some women that have that mentality, and as a result, their relationships suffer. So I'm asking my panelists, as you guys grew up, and I think that it was more of a cultural thing when I started doing the focus groups, it seemed like it was very specific to African-American women, not Hispanic and not white. So to my guest on the panel tonight, what was your experience growing up as it related to relationships? Like, did your parents tell you to go to college and find your husband and get married and have kids and live in a white picket, you know, house with a white picket fence? Or was it something different?
Well, if I'm allowed to go first.
Oh, absolutely.
I grew up in two-parent home, six siblings. Dad was six. My mom didn't go to college. My dad was master's doctor, principal, things like that. But I was told from the beginning, six kids, you will go to college. You will be able to support yourself. But they didn't say, don't have a man, don't have a relationship, because watching my parents, then I know that there's love somewhere. So I grew up wanting a relationship. But at the same time, a relationship and still needing to get my schooling and everything. So while I was in college, my best friend became my boyfriend, but I had to learn how to juggle both of those things so I can still be successful. But he's in college and I'm in college, and we're kind of like same level. Sometimes it becomes a problem when you don't have the same level. You have somebody who's never gone to college, and you have somebody who's in college. So now they feel like maybe I can't be that level for her. But for me, my experience, I never said that I need to be independent. My whole thing was I want to find a relationship, but I need to be successful too to be able to support the family. Me, if while I'm by myself, and us when we're together. So that's not every woman that was put on the same way as Tanisha was, I mean, Dr. Guy was, but there are some in both directions, in both ways.
What, TK, Dr. Brandy, what about your experience?
This is Brandy. When I was growing up, I grew up in a single parent household. I never had my father in the household at all. Didn't even have my father recognize that I was his daughter. So I never really saw my mom in a relationship with anybody as I was growing up. She was the first out of her family to go to college, so education was important, and that was stressed. So all my mom's children subsequently got a college education, but it was never, even though my mom was always by herself, and I never really saw a man with her, she never told me not to pursue a relationship, or she never talked bad about relationships, never even really spoke bad about my father, even though they weren't, even though he wasn't a part of my life. So as I grew up, though, I still wanted a relationship. You know, I was that little kid who thought about getting married and what I want my wedding to be like and a fairy tale and all these different things. And so even today, that's one of the things I still want. I still want a husband. I still want kids. So nobody never told me anything about relationships, but I still wanted a relationship for myself.
Mm-hmm. TK, what about you? What was your experience like?
So I grew up
initially was both parents, and my dad remarried, and so then was in a single parent home. Education was definitely stressed in my house. In the Floyd household, it wasn't if you go to college, it was when you go to college, when you get your degree. And it's really funny because my dad probably encouraged, you know, relationships, marriage, grandchildren more than my mother. Not sure why. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'll process it tonight. Maybe I'll come to a conclusion. But my dad was probably more vocal about my relationships in college and then with my ex-husband, much more so than my mom. And it's funny because when I was married even, I never went to my mom and vented about my ex-husband. When we were fighting, I heard the message somehow in my family relationship that you don't discuss your problems with your family because it causes more problems.
Uh-huh.
So somehow I got the message that your relationship issues stay in your relationship, but never got the message don't pursue a relationship. And this is even after my parents' divorce. Definitely my dad was supportive. Now his issue was whoever you marry needs to have a degree. That was his stipulation. You know, no knucklehead. That's what he would say. And for him, a knucklehead was someone who didn't go to college, because he grew up in a time where the privilege of getting a college degree was just that, a privilege. It wasn't something to be taken for granted. And I deserve, based on what he would tell me, to have someone who understood that privilege and took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was gone by the time I got divorced, but my mom actually was disappointed when I got divorced, and she said, "I'm really sorry that your marriage didn't work out, but I'm proud of you for trying." I do remember that. I think that's probably the only thing my mother focused on, you know, like really talked about as far as getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not sure.
So thank you, Sean, for, you know, obviously, again, putting me on blast. Dr. Brandy said that her, you know, her childhood experience was that she did dream of, you know, the wedding. And it's funny because I remember being, oh, my goodness, still in elementary school, I wanted to be Oprah. Like, I don't want to be married. I don't want kids. I just wanted to be Oprah. And so, and my parents are still together today. They've never, you know, said don't get married. But you know, just like anything else, you hear what you want to hear. And so what I heard was go to school. And I didn't hear anything else because in my head, in order for me to be like Oprah doesn't have a husband or kids. So I need to go to school so that I can be like Oprah. But obviously years have changed. I've grown. I've understood, you know, a lot about myself, which helps me relate to people better. So I don't carry that I'm too independent or I'm independent and I don't need you anymore. And so I'm really glad that TK, you made mention to her, Dr. Malik, Joe Neckbone, you guys mentioned that the relationships, and Sean, you mentioned the relationships about interdependence and that it's not about you winning or your mate winning. It's really about you all winning as a team. And I think that's the hardest part for people to get to. So before they can even function in the capacity of a team, you have to start dating. But so many women are having the issues of just dating before they can even get there to that team. So I think, Dr. Malik, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So this is to my males, Dr. Malik and Sean. This question is to you. If we're saying that, yes, there are some women that may come off as being too independent, right? What do you say to those women so that they can maybe adjust or even change so that they're not as alpha-like? I'm going to use that for the purposes of this. So they're not as alpha-like, but so that they're more open to the interdependence versus the independence. What would you say needs to happen? And this is for both of you guys.
Okay, well, I'll go first since I seem to get chastised. I think initially when we talk about the importance of education, one of the
primary things you have to look at is the educational process. It's a masculine discipline. You know, all of the aspects of education is masculine. You know, you defend, you attack, you know. Those are the things you do with your dissertation. So when you talk about the women have gone through the educational process, what they really have gone through is a masculinization process. So the only way to defeat the masculinization process is to go through a feminization process. And that's when you want to get more in touch with, you know, art, cooking, dancing, you know, being creative, painting, things like that. You know, there are also some other things you can look at just in terms of your dress. You know, how are you presenting yourself? You know, is it always in the business suit? Is it in the heels? You know, you work on your appearance. You look more feminine. You know, when you put on a skirt, there's some stuff you just can't do because you got a skirt on. So, you know, you feel more ladylike as a result. So that is all I have. On to you, Dr. Lee.
Woo! Boy, I'm glad I let you go first. Usually when you have a sister, as you put it, Dr. God, that has so much independence, energy inside her, usually is a defense mechanism to cover up some type of trauma or some type of fear, because to become vulnerable is very, very scary.
Uh-huh.
Especially becoming vulnerable to not the right person. And so one of the things that I would tell any sister who is, you know, has that strong independent streak and that she wants to, you know, and she does want to become more interdependent, is to slowly learn how to trust herself. Because the thing about it is trust herself on the people that she selects as potential partners. I wouldn't encourage as far as like a change of dress, because to me that has something to do with feminine energy. The cooking, the cleaning, and stuff like that really doesn't have anything to do with feminine energy. It's because I think both of us need, you know, masculine and feminine energy to make us whole. Males need to get in touch with their feminine energy, and females need to get in touch with their masculine energy, and some men need to get in touch with more masculine energy, and some females need to get in touch with more feminine energy. But the thing is that it's usually a fear of being vulnerable, because being vulnerable, you really have to be strong. And a lot of sisters think that they're being strong because they internalize that myth of the strong black female, and they try to live up to that standard. But see, the thing about it is to really truly be strong is to be vulnerable and trust. Because trust is so precious, because it gets taken away so quickly, and it's next to impossible to give it back. Yeah. And the problem is a lot of times we carry that baggage around, and the next people are going to get, you know, down the line. So it's like, the thing is, I would tell them to really trust their own, you know, spider senses, you know, and believe that they can pick a worthy partner. And whatever ground rules they take as far as, you know, how long it's going to be before they truly, you know, relinquish and truly trust is up to them. I mean, I've heard, like, one of my favorite shows that used to come on was Girlfriends, and she had a three-month rule or something like that. But it's like whatever rules they have as far as, you know, the male being on probation before they decide they're going to really, you know, commit and become vulnerable, that's up to her individually. But she got to make a decision that, you know, she's intelligent, she's strong, he can be, you know, there's only so long a person can trip you as far as their character. So it's like the thing is like she got to trust her own instincts and learn to become interdependent. Because if she really wants to do it, she got to learn to be vulnerable, and that's a scary thing.
All righty. Well, Sean, Dr. Malik, thank you for those closing remarks. I do want to thank my guest, TK. Thank you so much. Dr. Brandy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Mrs. Rutledge,
yes.
Thank you for joining us as our co-host. our question tonight was, are successful women too independent? We're going to close that and say no, there aren't. And so you guys can answer it however you want, but we're closing it with say no, they aren't. At the end of the day, they still look for companionship. So everybody, make sure you pass it on, tweet it, Facebook it, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. To all of my listeners, all of my guests, have a blessed week, and make sure you guys tune in next week. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Malik, for calling in.
Man, Malik, you set me up.
Malik wants them to get their Olivia Pope on. Trust you're good. That's what he told them.
Everybody, good night.
Take care.